This morning's Old Testament scripture is Exodus 34, 25 to 35. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Thou shalt not... And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount of Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them the commandments all the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake with the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
You ready for the gospel? You ready to hear the word of God? Let's stand so that it'll remind us to pay attention. Let's focus ourselves just a little bit. This is the gospel according to Luke. We are on the 9th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighted down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. She did a good job with the scripture, didn't she? She dived right in with that and read that And she said she forgot this morning that it was, you know, and that was in the middle of it. It's been a forgetful morning. We got here early to double-check that everything was ready, and I'd left all my keys at home. So we found out the sidewalks were all shoveled and cleared, but we couldn't, if I hadn't gone and gotten my keys, we couldn't be starting this morning. But here we are, and we're getting started now. But Debbie did a good job. She was talking about some people. It's somebody you may not have heard before. You've heard, his name is Moses. Maybe you've heard that name. Moses was this young kid. He was born, and at the time when he was born, he was illegal. The king, the ruler had said, "We're going to kill all of the male boys. We want them all destroyed." But his mother refused. His mother took and she made a basket and she wove it out of reeds and put tar on it to seal it, and she put him in, and it's called, the word is Tabor. It's the same word that they use when they talk about Noah and the ark. It's Noah makes a Tabor. And so she has made an Tabor, an ark for baby Moses. And one thought that came to me the first time I ever read that was she just tosses him out in the river and says, good luck. But not at all. Because Moses' sister was watching the basket the whole time. And she went just upstream from where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing. And Pharaoh's daughter, she was a lovely person because she found the basket. She found the baby. She knew. But she took him in anyway. Illegal. If her dad had realized, if that had all been clear, it was very illegal. It was something that she shouldn't have done. But there's the right way to do things. And sometimes that is the more important. So she raises Moses in the family. I'm going to get to the sermon in a minute. She's raising the family. And Moses is raised right along with. He's raised with royalty. Can you? That would have been nice. But one day, as he's grown, he sees an Egyptian overseer. And he's abusing one of the Hebrew slaves. We don't know many of the details. We don't know their names. We don't know all of that. But Moses knew that wasn't okay. And he intervened. And there was a squabble. And the Egyptian overseer was killed. Moses knew that was a deadly sentence upon him. And he fled. And he went out into the wilderness. Go away. Run away from it all. All of those troubles. All those struggles. All you can do. And he now is a person non grata. He's illegal. He's out in the wilderness. And probably a price on his head. We don't know. He probably thinks so. And he sees a bush up on the hillside. And it's the strangest thing because it's burning, but it's not burning. It's burning, but it's not being consumed. And he says, I got to go look at this. This is just something that's just too bizarre. I can't quite understand this. And he goes up, and as he's approaching it, a voice, take off your sandals. You're on hallowed ground. You're in the presence of God Almighty. God says, I have a job for you. And Moses says, oh, not me, Lord. I'm just a simple shepherd now. Sometimes God calls us like that. And we all want to say, no, you got the wrong number. Not me. You can't possibly be me. And Moses says, I don't speak well. God says, well, your brother will help you with that. Don't you sweat it. But I want you to go to Egypt because, you see, the Egyptians have enslaved my people. I want you to lead them out of captivity. So Moses goes and he says, Pharaoh, hey, have a note here from God. You're supposed to send these kids out, you know, release them from class, let them go. And Pharaoh doesn't. Then we have the plagues. You know, the gnats and the boils and the water turned to blood and the auditing of his taxes and I don't remember the other plagues. What were they? The what? Locusts, yes, okay. Was that a good thing or a bad thing? They eat those now, don't they? But finally, after some period of time, Moses realizes that Pharaoh's not going to let him go. And God says, we're going to have to do something serious here. He said, tell all the people that believe in me, that are faithful to me, and that trust in me, to mark your homes with blood on the posts and the lintels. Because I'm going to send an angel of death, and it's going to pass over the land, and all of the firstborn of the humans and of the animals, I'm going to destroy them all. And the faithful people marked their doors and their lintels, and the angel of death passed over them. We've heard that word Passover somewhere along the way, haven't we? Finally, God relents because his firstborn son is killed. He says, go, get away. You're just more trouble than you're worth. So they gather and they begin an exodus. Is that the name of the second book of the Bible? Okay. I'm trying to name drop here. Help me along. And they're fleeing, but then Pharaoh changes his mind and begins to pursue them. And it's a dangerous situation because they're trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And the chariots and soldiers, and it's an ugly, frightening, terrifying moment. We never experience those, do we? We never have those times of trials, questions of what are we going to do? But God says, Moses, take your hands. And with God's power, he opens the waters and the Israelites cross the Red Sea on dry land. Pharaoh's army pursues them and they get down in the bottom and their wheels are mired down in mud and they're stuck in the middle of it and the sea comes back and many of them are drowned. You've heard that story, some of you? Then they go out in the wilderness and they wander for a long time. There's a rumor it's because Moses refused to stop and ask directions. But they wander and they wander and then they come to Mount Sinai and Moses goes up on the mountain and he's in the presence of God. We heard that this morning. And he comes back and he's his face is radiant because he's been in the presence of Almighty God. And he brings back the tablets, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. These are the laws for the people. I'm always a little embarrassed. People must have been pretty simple that you had to give them a written law says you should not kill each other. No, killing is bad. We were primitive at that point. That's kind of embarrassing to be so primitive that you had to have a law stating what now is ingrained on us. We know this. We understand this. But there were the laws to guide and direct the people. And he comes down from the mountain. It's a wonderful thing. He's coming back to the people, but he's been gone a long time. And while he's been gone, there's been a change because the people have said, we don't have a statue of this God of Moses, but we know that we can worship some of the stuff we've worshiped all the times before. We need to, let's get back to the good old time religion. Let's get back to the way things always were. Let's get back to what was comfortable and what we knew. And so they build the golden calf. And Moses comes back and they're in the middle of worshiping the golden calf. And it is not a pretty scene. We don't speak about it a lot, but there is division. And there's anger. And people are killed. But they've gathered together. And God leads them. So this is the Moses. This is one of the ones that we read here just in this passage. Jesus goes up on the hillside with John and Peter and James. And there is Moses. He's one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. The other one is Elijah. Now, I'm not going to tell you the whole story of Elijah. We don't have time here. But he's the prophet's prophet. He's the mouthpiece, the spokesperson of God. This is upon the law and the prophets. This is what we're talking about. This is the basis for how to be a people. The law and the prophets. And here they are. And they're gathered with Jesus. When Peter sees him, of course he says, hey, you got to meet some celebrities. Let's build some monuments here. And said, you know, on this date, on this time, here we saw these people. This is awesome stuff. This is a historical moment. He doesn't realize that this is Jesus coming to gather with the other agents of God. And he remembered, did you hear what they were talking about? It's in Luke that we hear that. They were talking about Jesus' coming journey to Jerusalem. He's preparing for his passion. He'll be tried, scourged, crucified and die for the people. So they're standing there and all of a sudden it's just Jesus alone, and a cloud overcomes them and they're terrified, and a voice comes out of the cloud: this is my son, the chosen one, my beloved. This is my heart, listen to him. I've always read it and thought it that way. Listen to him. I'm beginning to think that we've got the emphasis wrong. I'm beginning to think that the emphasis has to be listen to him. There's lots of places we can listen. There's lots of places with authority. There's lots of laws and rules and guidance and things on how to be. But I think God was reminding us, this is God incarnate. This is the Christ. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him when they bring an adulterous woman to him. And they say, the laws are clear. She must be stoned. We caught her in the act of adultery. What shall we do? And he doesn't condemn her. Listen to him. Listen to him because the laws forbid us working on the Sabbath. You can't even pick grain, and they do that. They can't do any work, and here is a man, and Jesus heals him on the Sabbath, and they condemn him. The laws are clear. But God says, listen to him. And Jesus said, the Sabbath is made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. Listen to him. When I started preparing for this week, it was right after we heard about what had happened at conference, and I chose the sermon title, Maelstrom. I think I knew that word. I've heard it somewhere before, but the Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you seen some of the Pirates of the Caribbean movie? And they get a maelstrom there. It's a big whirlpool in the ocean. And that's the nautical term for it, but there's a dictionary definition somewhere here. Maelstrom is a situation or state of confused movement or violent turmoil. That's what it felt like this week. Did it feel like that to some of you? And I think it is a time of turmoil. But as I reflected back, and as we just reflected about Moses and his journey, and about the people and all of the things, the turmoil that had occurred, and the turmoil that is a part of our journey as a church, we understand that this is part of how and who we are. There will be times of turmoil, times of strife, times of division. I don't know if you know our history, but at one point in time, before the Civil War, we had a conference. It was the Methodists then. The United hadn't joined us. The United Brethren were still separated out. They had a conference, and at the general conference, they passed a law saying that we do not support slavery. There was a huge division because all the southern states that were depending upon slavery as an economic tool, and it was part of their life and part of what they believed, and they believed that the Bible validated their owning of slaves. The division was huge. And the church split. They came back the next year and said, all right, we'll eliminate that language. But the church split anyway. And it became the Methodist Episcopal Church North and the Methodist Episcopal Church South. Do you remember the year? What year? I caught her totally cold, which is not even fair. What? I don't remember anybody. Anybody remember? Okay, we'll make up a date. But that division occurred, the church split, and we had to fight a war. We fought the Civil War, one of the deadliest in our nation's history. What a horrible thing that happened there. If they had stuck it out, I could still contend, if they had stuck it out and sat down and resolved this person to person, maybe they wouldn't have had to fight a war. Maybe they could have figured it out without having to shoot each other. Don't know. It's history now. Maelstrom. Maelstrom, that turmoil, that division, all of that that's happening. And the hardest part for me is the people that are being injured by it. People that are being, feel like they've been abandoned. That's painful. But we need to pause. We need to pause and back up and say, wait a minute. We are still a church guided and inspired by Jesus Christ. And we are doing mission work here. Deb's been lifting several of the things that we do. And every month we're going to lift a different one of those areas that we're involved in mission to help us remember what we're doing. I don't know now, but at one point we could brag a little and say that the United Methodist Church feeds children every day. Did you know that we do that through mission work? At one point in time, we fed 1 million children every day through our brothers and sisters, through our churches gathered, through our offerings, through our gathering. 1 million children. Amen? And we're going to keep doing that. Turmoil, you bet there's turmoil. Pain, yes. And time to pause and pray. But time to also say, I will not allow myself to turn in anger, to turn in hate, to turn and say, I divorce myself from my brother and sister. But say, somehow, we'll follow Christ together. Listen to him. Listen to him. Do you think that if we said, well, this is upsetting, well, let's just stop doing ministry. What do you think Jesus would say to us? I don't think it would fly very far, very fast, from what I know about the boss. Listen to him. He's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. He's very, very clear when he says, don't judge each other. Love one another. In point of fact, there's this time that he gathers everyone, and we just talked about Moses, and he comes down off the mountain bringing the Ten Commandments. You remember those? The commandments, the covenants. But we're getting ready for communion. And as he prepared for communion, he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, if you have love for one another, listen to him. Find peace. Celebrate love through Christ. Amen.